Well, here we are. We're at the last of the last of the book of Mark. We have looked at King Jesus since about the second Sunday or so in January, and are concluding with the Gospel of Mark and the series of King Jesus this morning. So we've come from the king's credentials in chapter 1 to the king's call to come and follow him, to the king's cross and the resurrection, which we saw even last week, to today, the king's command. He is the king. Jesus Christ is the king. And he has given us a command. He has given us a task. He has given us a directive. And we're going to look at a piece of that here in Mark chapter 16, verses 15 through 20. And so if you would, if you're able, in honor and reverence to the Word of God, would you stand as I read this passage for us this morning? Mark 16, starting at verse 15. And he, that's Jesus, said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. And these signs will follow those who believe in my name. They will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. If they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. They will lay hands on the sick and they will recover." So then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven, sat down at the right hand of God, and they went out and preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. We thank you for speaking to us through it. And we pray that you would have your way in us as we proclaim it this morning. But not only that, Father, we pray that your spirit would have the freedom to move in my life as I proclaim, but also in all the hearers' lives as well. Lord, we have come from different backgrounds. We've come today with different things going on in our homes, in our lives. We pray, Lord, that we'd be able to set those things aside just to hear from you today. We thank you for the power of the Holy Spirit who knows all of our needs and knows what we need to hear. Maybe it's something that has been sung already or something that is prayed, or maybe it is what is to be preached upon. But Lord, may you take the word and may you multiply it in our hearts and lives, and may we walk away from here knowing that you have challenged us to be the people of God and we obey the command in which you have given to us. But Lord, I come before you acknowledging that I can do nothing on my own. But I need you, Lord Jesus, to be able to speak this morning through me as your instrument. Lord, may the words of my mouth, meditation of my heart, be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. And I pray that all folks here and all who will hear this message will receive it by the power of your spirit as well. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Well, as we come to this passage of Scripture, in verses 15 through 20, when we finish out Mark, in reality, verses 9 through 20 are not in some of the translations, as these verses were not found in some of the earlier Greek manuscripts. That's why in a lot of your translations, a lot of your Bibles, you will find a footnote in verses 9 through 20, or it's bracketed, meaning that many of the manuscripts did not have them, but there were some that did. But God has allowed these verses to be preserved all these years for some reason. And outside of maybe a few words, they could be seen as summaries of other scriptures, and there's nothing that really contradicts here with the other scripture as well. And so having said that, these words are in Holy Scripture, and so we're going to dive in these verses this morning, verses 15 through 20, and see the king's command. Now, as we say every week, there's an outline in your bulletin. I'd love for you to fill out those and take those and look at them again later. But I want you to see the outline today. First off is go everywhere. The king's command is to go everywhere. Look at verse 15 again in Mark 16. Jesus said to them, "Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature." Now, these are some of the last words that Jesus spoke on earth. Not only here, but in all the Gospels, he has the same message for the people, that this is what they are supposed to do. And so these are the last words in which Jesus is sharing, some of the last words that Jesus is sharing with his disciples. He only has 40 days or so left on the earth, and he wants to be able to tell them something. Now, I was thinking about that even just sitting here a minute ago. If I had to share, if I knew that I only had 40 days left to be able to be on this earth and be among people who were my closest friends and family, what is it that I would want to say to them? And so I was thinking back to when Angie's dad passed away a few years ago. It was a beautiful homegoing, and he was with us and very alert all the way up until the very end. And I can still remember some of the things that he said to us on that last day, and telling us, especially us, because he had all girls, telling us as his sons-in-laws to take care of his girls. You know, these are things that I remember. And as we think about that, here Jesus, he only has 40 days or so left. And he wants something that to be said to these disciples that they will remember. And so this, what we find here in this just one verse, which is really a summary of other verses in other Gospels, is this command here is very clear. This command is very simple. And this command is very definite. He says, go into all the world to every creature and preach the gospel. Now, who is he saying that to? Well, he's saying that to the disciples then, the disciples who had been with him, those who were indeed the closest to him, those who had been around him for 3 years. They had been prepared for this moment. They had been with Jesus, and now their lives have been changed by the resurrection of the Lord. And look at this now. Because those disciples listened to what Jesus said to them, they obeyed the command, they obeyed the task, they obeyed the directive that Jesus had given them. We today are here because those disciples went and preached the gospel. Do you agree with that? We're here today because they didn't let it drop at that moment. As Jesus told them that they needed to go everywhere to all people, that's exactly what they did. And because they did, they told people about Jesus, who 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 told other people about Jesus, who told you, and who told me. Aren't you glad they obeyed the command? Yes, indeed. And so now, as he said this to the disciples then, guess what? These words, this directive, is written for us as well. He is saying this to us too. That we also are to go into all the world, to every creature, and preach the gospel. The word go, guess what that means in the Greek? It means to go. Amen? You know what? It's a funny thing. It does not mean to be sit still and be satisfied. It really does not mean that in the Greek. It means to go. It means movement. It means getting busy and going forward. And so where are we to go and to whom are we? Well, Jesus answers that. He says, go into all the world and to preach the gospel to every creature. So the where is we're to go everywhere, and to whom is to everybody. We're to go to everywhere and to everybody. And the all there, go to all the world and to every creature, the all there is emphatic, meaning that no one is excluded. As Jesus is giving this directive to his disciples, this command that he is giving to them is a revolutionary command. In other words, he is saying to them that they are to go everywhere to all the people, meaning that the Jews we're also supposed to cross those borders as well and to go everywhere to all people. So that meant that eventually the Jews who couldn't stand the Gentiles would need to tell the Gentiles and the pagans about Jesus Christ. And the Jews couldn't stand the Gentiles, and the Gentiles couldn't stand the Jews. But they maintained, they heard what God, the Lord Jesus had called them to do, and they did exactly what they were supposed to do. Friends, that revolutionary command, we don't quite get it for us today. But that is revolutionary for us today as well. That we are to go as disciples, making disciples everywhere to every person. No matter who you are. If you are a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ, if you have been born again, washed in the blood of the Savior, then you too have been given this same command, this same task, this same directive to go everywhere to all people to preach the gospel. And so you are to do that, and no matter who you are, but you're also to do that no matter who they are. We're to go and tell all people about Jesus. Why? Because he is God who loves the world. In John 3:16, it tells us, for God so loved a few people. Is that what your Bible says? That's not what mine says either. No, it says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. The world. All the people. So we're to go to all the people. What does that mean? That means, okay, that means that we're supposed to go to the Republicans and the Democrats. All right, now I've got your attention, right? That means that we're supposed to go to those independents as well. That also means that we're supposed to love and to go toward those people who are the street rioters. That got a little bit of silence, didn't it? That's revolutionary, isn't it? That's revolutionary. Those people that we're having a hard time understanding across the board today. Do you know something? Jesus loves those people and died for those people too. Come on now. Amen? And so he has called us in a very revolutionary directive that we are to go everywhere to all people because they need to hear the gospel. And Romans chapter 2 verse 11 tells us that there is no partiality with God. Well, we get very comfortable in our little bubble, don't we? Oh, we don't mind talking to people about Jesus sometimes, especially people who are within our comfort zone. But in reality, we are to go within our comfort zone and outside of our comfort zones to tell people about Jesus, to live the life of Jesus in front of them, be an example of Jesus before them, and to tell them who Jesus is, to give them hope. We must go to the people, listen, that we know and those that we don't know. We're to go to people who we're comfortable with and those who we're not comfortable with. We're to go to people who dress like us and those who don't dress like us. We're to go to people who have the same political persuasion that we do, but also we're supposed to go to those people who don't have the same political persuasion that we do. This message is not for a select group, but it is for all to hear. It's for all to hear, and it's for all disciples to go. In John 15, verse 16, Jesus said to the disciples, he said, you did not choose me, but I chose you and appointed you that you should, there's that word again, go and bear fruit. And then in John 20, verse 21, Jesus says, peace to you. As the Father has sent me, I also send you. The word there for sent in the Greek is apostello, and when it's moved to the Latin, and the Latin word for that is missio, where we get words like missions or missionary. And so God's missionaries are God's sent out ones. And just as he has sent out the disciples, guess what? He has also sent out us. We, as believers, we as disciples who are children of God are his missionaries. We are on the mission field. Wherever you live, wherever you frequent, wherever you go to school, whoever you come in contact with, friends, that is your mission field. And you are to be a missionary on that mission field as a sent out one that God has placed you in this place to point people to Jesus as you meet them right where they are. Amen? That's what he's called us to do. We are his missionaries. Listen, we are his plan for pointing people to Jesus. Don't you find it interesting that God did not choose to let the angels be the ones who walk on the earth and point people to Jesus? Or that there's not some writing in the sky that says Jesus is the way? No, he has chosen us, broken people who have been saved and changed by the power of the gospel, to tell other people who are broken, who need to be changed by the power of the gospel, about the one who can do that. That's our job, that's our task, and we are his plan for pointing people to Jesus. There are people all around us, listen, who do not know Jesus. The statistics in the United States alone are as high as 75% are lost. And in some areas of the country, friends, it is way higher than that. We've talked about it in Montreal, which is Quebec, which is right across the border in North America, across the United States border, where it's 0.5% that are evangelical, so 99.5% are lost. And as you come down into the New England area, there are many areas that are just like that, if not 0.5, only 1% or 2% that are evangelical. There are many areas like that in this country where people are lost and do not know the Lord Jesus. You know, I think sometimes we forget what it is to be lost. Lost is to be without a relationship with Jesus Christ. It's not having a relationship with Him. A person who does not have that relationship with Jesus is a person who is lost. And a person who is lost is under the wrath of God because of sin. That's what the Bible says. A person who is lost is separated from God and needs to be reconciled to a right relationship with their Creator. A person who is lost, there is no life in that person. There is no cleansing for their sins. There is no power over sin, and there is no hope of heaven, but only the promise of hell, because that is a real, literal place. And as we think about the people who are in our country and in our sphere of influence even, that there are people who are lost around us, somebody needs to go. Somebody needs to go. Well, who is that somebody? It's us. We are the ones who have been tasked by God to be that someone. That someone is you. And that someone is me, to be the disciples. And we are to go to all the people everywhere. David Platt, the president of the International Mission Board, I just saw this quote in the last day or so. David Platt said this: every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every unsaved person this side of hell. Amen? Let me read it again. Every saved person this side of heaven owes the gospel to every unsaved person this side of hell. Friends, as disciples, we are to hear the command of the King. And the King says, go everywhere. Go everywhere. Secondly, we find here there's not a go everywhere, but go empowered. Go empowered. Let's look at verse 15 again. Go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. And so we're to go empowered with the gospel. We're to go empowered with the gospel, which is the good news. The gospel is powerful. The good news, friends, is powerful. You see, we who are believers have the best news because we have and we know the source of hope. We talked about that last week. We talked about hope a lot in the message last week. Because of the resurrection, we have hope. And so we know the source of hope. Now, some people today have placed their hope in a lot of different places across this land in their own lives. They've placed their hope in a lot of different people, a lot of different things. This very week, as we look at things that are happening on our televisions, we see that there are people here who have placed their hope in a candidate. So maybe you're here this morning and your candidate lost. Or maybe you're here today and your candidate won. Or maybe you're here today and your candidate right now is a great big old question mark in your mind because you're not real sure yet. Friends, whatever the case is, we need to understand something, is that our hope is not found in a political leader. Our hope is not found in a political or any other kind of philosophy. But our hope is also not found in any of the celebrities or any parent or any teacher or any pastor. These things are not where our hope is found. No, our people, our friends, people, our hope is found in Jesus Christ and in Him alone. Now, as we think about this, you know, there are people around us who may have a different political persuasion than you, and maybe there are people who are anxious. Maybe there are people who are hurting. There are people who are questioning because they feel like that their lives have come to an end even, and wondering what's going to happen next. And in all honesty, if your candidate is the one who won, if that candidate had lost, you'd be feeling the very same thing. Now, you might be doing things a little bit differently, but you may be feeling some of the very same ways. What are we going to do? What's going to happen next? There are people all around us, no matter what their political persuasion, who are anxious, hurting, and questioning, and what must we do in the midst of that? Do we point our fingers at them? Or do we point them to Jesus? And that's what we're supposed to be doing. Point these folks to Jesus Christ. No matter who they are, no matter what they look like, no matter what their political persuasions. Because Jesus died for them, and he loves them too. That's what's important for us. That's our task. That's our command. And that is revolutionary. We are to point them to Jesus. And why are we to point them to Jesus? Because Jesus is their hope. And he's our hope. Jesus saves. He saves from death. He saves from Satan's power. He saves from hell. And so we are empowered with this good news. I don't know about you folks, but I love to tell people good news, don't you? When something good happens, you know, we just can't wait to tell it. We want to tell some good news to people. Something has happened, and we talk about it, and we want to share that good news. Well, we don't have just good news. We got the best news in that Jesus saves. He is the hope. And so we can share that, and we are empowered with that gospel, the best news. Believing in Jesus brings salvation. In verse 16 here, it says that he who believes and is baptized will be saved, but he who does not believe will be condemned. Believing in Jesus is what brings salvation. As a matter of fact, in the first chapter of Mark 1:15, Jesus said to repent and believe in the gospel. And in John 3, verse 17 and 18, it says, for God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He who believes in him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already. Well, Pastor, it says here, he who believes and is baptized will be saved. Does that mean that we must be baptized in order to be saved? No, that is not what it means. Once we're believers, we will want to be baptized in obedience to the Lord. But if I remember correctly, there was a thief on the cross who Jesus said, today you'll be with me in paradise, and nowhere was that man baptized. He believed in Jesus. And so, friends, that's the truth for it is for us today as well. We're empowered with the gospel, the good news that Jesus saves. We're to repent and believe. But not only that, but we're empowered with the gospel. We're empowered with the Spirit. When you look at verses 17 through 18, we see these words. And these signs will follow those who believe. In my name, they will cast out demons. They will speak with new tongues. They will take up serpents. And if they drink anything deadly, it will by no means hurt them. And they will lay hands on the sick, and they will recover. Now, I assure you that up here, I do not have a rattlesnake in a box somewhere. Angie will tell you that of all the things in this world that I might be afraid of, snakes would be the number one thing. All snakes, and I've said this before, just so you know where I'm at, I'll be very transparent. All snakes are deadly until they're dead, okay? And at that point, we'll check it out. So just so you know, that's where we are. So there are no snakes up here. So as we look at these verses, when we kind of look here and say, okay, what exactly is happening? Well, these verses really provide a summary of the miracles that are recorded in the book of Acts. Even then, in the book of Acts, when we talk about the serpents here, we know that Paul was bitten by a deadly viper and it didn't kill him. So we can see that this is a summary of some of the miraculous signs that God did in that time to prove that he is the Son of God. And so we see that, but we also understand that these disciples were empowered with the Holy Spirit. And we also we have the same promise of being empowered with the Holy Spirit. In Acts chapter 1, verse 8, it tells us, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. There is power that we are empowered with the Holy Spirit. So Jesus has given us a command. He has given us directive, but he's also given us what we need, the gospel to share with people. And then he's given us the Holy Spirit who lives within us as believers to go empowered by that Spirit to do the work that he's called us to do. Now, some of you, I'm sure, have nice TVs in your homes. Probably some of you have, you know, the big 30 to 70 inch TVs on your walls and watching ball games or whatever. And some of you probably have fancy appliances with the refrigerators. They've even got refrigerators now with TV sets on them. I can't understand that. But nevertheless, they've got, those fancy appliances. You know, some of you probably got the handy power tools, you know, in your garages and what have you. And those tools and these appliances, these things are great to have. But you know what? Without power, they are useless. And friends, listen, we may have all the tools at our fingertips, our testimony, scripture memorization, tracts, and even apps on our phones. But without the power of the Holy Spirit, it is nothing. Amen? It's nothing. We need the power of the Holy Spirit working in us and through us, but also the power of the Holy Spirit. This is the great thing. Not only is he working in us, but he's already working in those people that we're going to engage in the conversations. So we need to be praying for God to work and to have his way and to use us and to know that we're empowered by the Spirit. Go empowered with the gospel, but also go empowered with the Spirit within us. But also we're going empowered with his presence being with us. In verse 20 in chapter 16 here, we see that it tells us, and they, the disciples, went out, preached everywhere, the Lord working with them and confirming the word through the company signs. The Lord was with them. As a matter of fact, in Matthew 28, 19 and 20, it tells us there that Jesus in the Great Commission there says, go therefore make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, telling them to observe all things that I've commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. You know, friends, there is something to be said for being with. When you're getting ready to go into a situation, it's good to have someone with you who maybe who's been there before, don't you think? Presently, as some of you probably know, I am the chaplain for the Colonial Heights Fire Department. And the deputy chief has become a good friend of mine, Dave Salat. Some of you know Dave. And as I went into, back in September, started this, he said, okay, what we'll do is you and I will go together to the fire departments, to the different stations each week, and on Monday mornings, and just, you know, get to know folks and have coffee. And, you know, I thought, well, that's great. Now, I would sure hate to have done that by myself. But it was sure great, and it continues to be great, to have Dave with me week after week. There's something to be said for being with. As much as wonderful that is, that Dave's with me, isn't it even better that we know that the Lord, the creator of the universe, is with us? Amen? The one who has all authority, the one who is bigger, the one who does know, has said, I will not leave you nor forsake you, that I am with you always, even to the end of the day. He is with us as we go. Friends, we go empowered with the best news, which is the gospel. We go empowered with the Holy Spirit living within us, but we also have the Lord walking with us as we go. There's something to be said for being with. The King's command is to go everywhere and to go empowered. And then thirdly, is to go exalting. Go exalting. And verse 19. So then, it tells us, so then after the Lord had spoken to them, he was received up into heaven and sat down at the right hand of God. This verse speaks of Jesus the King, who is enthroned and who is exalted. And so as we see here this passage and other passages as well in the scriptures, we see that Jesus is on the throne and that he is exalted. And so we are reminded then that as we're given this directive by King Jesus to go and preach the gospel everywhere to every creature, we need to know that we're going exalting because we're going exalting Jesus. We're going exalting him. We're lifting up Jesus and not us. When we go to preach the gospel to people, when we go to share hope with people, friends, it is not for us to receive any glory whatsoever. It's easy when we get, especially when we start thinking numbers. We like to rack up our numbers. How many people we've won to Christ. Friends, that's giving glory to us. We want to seek to give glory to Jesus. Because it's not about building up my kingdom. And it's not about us building up our kingdom. And it's not about building up the kingdom of Mount Pleasant Baptist Church. Rather, it's about his kingdom. And it's exalting our King. And so as we go for his glory. Not for the disciples' glory, but for his glory. Not for us to receive glory, but for his glory. And then we see again in verse 20. And these disciples, they went out and they preached everywhere. The Lord working with them and confirming the word through the accompanying signs. Amen. As the book closes, we see that the gospel does not end. But rather, it continues in the lives of Jesus' followers. Now, we've been watching these guys, haven't we? Ever since January, we've gone just about page by page in the Gospel of Mark. And we have seen these disciples seem absolutely ignorant sometimes, haven't we? Man, they have been self-centered. They have been doubting. They have been stiff-necked and stubborn. And they have been wrongly steered in different directions. But those same disciples, friends, were forever changed when Jesus rose bodily from the grave and they were filled with the Holy Spirit and they turned into powerful preachers of the gospel. They became missionaries who were sent out to go and bear fruit everywhere and to everyone. And the book of Acts tells us that these same disciples, the world was turned upside down through them as they preached the gospel. You want to know something? Now it's our turn. It's our turn. It's our turn to turn the world upside down with the gospel. Now, some of you who are here today are hoping that with a new president that things are going to change for our country, and I'm confident that they probably will. But friends, we need to make sure that we understand something, that our hope is not in that person. And anything can change in a moment. Anything can happen. And so our task is not to sit back now and think, oh, everything's going to be lovely. Because, friends, that's putting our faith and our trust in legislation and in man. Our hope has not changed. Our hope for our country is still in the Lord Jesus Christ. We still need revival. We still need awakening. We still need people to come to know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. That's where the hope is. That's where real change will come from, is when people give their hearts to Christ. So let us keep that in mind. Now, that you see at the bottom of your paper there, you have three things. And the first to do is that I would like for you to take those first one, two, three, and write down three people who need to know Jesus. People that you know, who you know that are unchurched, that you know maybe don't know the Lord Jesus as Savior. Maybe they're friends, maybe they're co-workers, maybe they're relatives, they're acquaintances, maybe they're your neighbors. Maybe you don't know their name, you know their house number in your cul-de-sac. But three names. Just write down three names. As you write those down, I want you to take that home with you. And then I want you to see on the other side of the page there, the other three. The first thing I want you to do is to pray. As we mentioned, we are empowered by the Holy Spirit. Without the Holy Spirit, we can do nothing. We're useless. We may have all the tools, but without him, we have nothing. So we want you to pray. Pray for God to work in those people's lives. Specifically, those three people. Ask God to be at work in their hearts and in their lives, drawing them to himself. But also pray for God to guide you to say what you need to say, to go when you need to go, to have the opportunity that he sets before you. So pray, asking God to have his will and his way in those people's lives and in your life as you work to point them to Jesus. The second thing is not only pray, I want you to prepare. Well, how do I get prepared? Well, I'm not asking you to memorize a whole lot of scriptures, even though you can do that. But every one of us in here has a story to tell. All of us who know Jesus Christ knows what he has done in our lives. Amen? Don't you know that you've been saved from your sin? Don't you know that you have forgiveness? Don't you remember what it was to be lost and what it is to be saved now and to know the hope that we have in Jesus? You have a story. You have a testimony. Be prepared to share that with people. Be prepared to share the good news of what Jesus has done in your life to the people that are on this list and maybe other people as well. Yes, it's very important to know John 3:16. That's a good one. I mean, just about everybody could probably memorize that. If not, you can write it down. You can use your Bible. You can use an app. You can use all kinds of things. But be prepared for the opportunity as God brings it to you, knowing also that he'll give you the words that you need to say. Because it's not up to you. Listen, it's not up to you to save that person. It's up to you to be faithful. God does the saving. Amen? Let him do the work. You just be faithful. And then thirdly, present. That means go. Go and have those conversations. Present the gospel. Through your story, through the word of God, present the gospel. Present that to the people you come in contact with. Now, if you're here today and you've never trusted Jesus as Lord and Savior of your lives, you need to know that there is no other name like the name of Jesus. Amen? Jesus saves because he gave his life for us on the cross of Calvary. And so it takes a step of faith to know the Lord Jesus as Savior. It's trusting him, embracing him, believing in him, knowing that we're sinners in need of a Savior. For all of us are sinners. There's none righteous, no, not one. There's no one good enough to get into heaven on their own merits. We know that we're sinners and we need someone to save us, and that someone is Jesus. And so we turn from that sin and we turn to Jesus, believing he's able, but repenting of our sins to forgive us of our sins. And we embrace, believing with all of our heart, that Jesus is God's Son who died on the cross and rose again. And we profess him as the Lord and Savior of our lives. It's a step of faith. Now, if you want to see that in more concrete terms, you can just turn over your bulletins on the back there, a step of faith. You can use that also as you prepare to tell people about Jesus. If you are a child of God, you already know the Lord Jesus, you are not exempt. I am not exempt from his command to go and preach the gospel everywhere to all people. Will you make that commitment today to pray for those people and to go and present the gospel as God gives you the opportunity and the ways that he allows you to do that? Will you be faithful? Will you be obedient? Somebody told somebody who told you. Now it's our turn. Let's pray. Father, we pray that you would have your way in our hearts and lives. We pray, Father, that you would burn within us a passion for you, Lord Jesus, and a passion for the world to have hope around us, to know that you are the answer to life's difficulty, to life's problems. But to have life. You are our hope of life. And so I pray, Father, that you would work in the congregation today, that if there are those who don't know you as Lord and Savior, that you would use this opportunity as you're drawing people to yourself to say yes to Jesus. But also, Father, we pray for those of us who do know you as Lord, that you would guide us and direct us to be about your business of obeying your command to go everywhere to all people and preach the gospel with love for you and love for each other, as only you've taught us. And so, Lord, I pray now that you'd guide us and direct us as we come to this invitation. Maybe we need to make that public by just coming and praying together. Maybe you need, as you're working in people's lives, they need to just come and surrender something to you as they kneel here and pray, or take Pastor Andy by the hand or myself. But, Lord, may you have your way in our hearts and lives. Lord, we want to be your servants. We are your disciples. And we want to obey your directives and your commands for your glory and not our own. And we praise you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. This morning you come as God's dealt with your heart. I'll be here, Pastor Andy's here, as we sing, I Surrender All. Surrender it all to him today as we come to sing together.
All to Jesus I surrender, all to Him I freely give. I will ever love and trust Him in His presence daily live. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender to Jesus I surrender. Make me Savior, wholly Thine. Let me feel Thy Holy Spirit. Truly know that Thou art mine. I surrender all. I surrender all to Thee, my blessed Savior. I surrender all.
If you would, just to be seated at this time, we want to have a time of dedication for our shoeboxes before we dismiss this morning. So if you have a shoebox and you haven't brought it forward, you can do so at this time. If you already have your shoebox up here and you'd like to come and just stand by, that's fine too, as we're going to have a time just in just a moment to pray over these boxes. So come on down, folks, and let's pray that God, whether you brought a shoebox or not, you're welcome to come down too. And as we dedicate these shoeboxes to the Lord, as they're going to go out from here in just a few weeks and be processed and then go to some little boy and some little girl. All right. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You and praise You for the folks who have created these boxes for children all over the world. And Lord, we pray that You'd begin to work even now in the lives of these children who will receive these boxes. We pray, Father, that You'd make their hearts to be tender for the gospel that they will surely hear as they receive these boxes. We pray that it would meet the exact need that they were thinking they were going to receive. We pray, Father, that You would direct each one to each child who's in need of something that is in that specific box. Lord, we have heard of those miracles happening time and time again. Lord, I pray that You would use that to point them to Jesus. I pray for those who will be distributing these boxes to those children. And I pray, Father, that the children would come to know You and that their families will come to know You as conversations are had about Jesus. I pray, Father, for Samaritan's Purse, for as they head up this program, we pray, Father, that You would work in the leaders' lives for Franklin Graham. We pray for those who will be at the Operation Christmas Child, the distribution center in Charlotte, those from our church who are going in just a few weeks, that You'd use them. And those who are there even this week, Father, from other churches, we pray that You'd touch them as they work to see these children receive these boxes. But Lord, we love You and we praise You and thank You because You can use something as simple as a little box to bring children to Jesus Christ. And so Lord, we pray for that. We pray that You'd go before these boxes and go with them and come behind them. And we look forward to hearing one day, if not on this side of heaven, on that side, when we see You face to face. When we will find out what person came to know Christ through this small token. Lord, for not for our glory, but for Your glory. For it's in Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Amen. Thank you all. You may go back to your seats. And as you all are doing that, just have a real quick announcement for you. If you're interested in going to South Dakota on the missions trip, they're going to be meeting today after the 11 o'clock service. So you're welcome to stay after today and come to that meeting as well. And so we're grateful for all these things that are happening in our church, these mission teams, what have you. Brother Andy, you've got something for us? I think there's an announcement or two you might have.
Just a reminder to our senior adults, we are going to be having our Thanksgiving dinner at Nottoway this week, and we want to encourage you to sign up today if you have not done that and to get your money in, all right? Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you again for this day. We thank you for the blessings that you've given us, and especially for all those who have worked so hard on these packages. We pray that you'll send them out now and that we will see great results from this. Thank you so much for allowing us this opportunity to share your word. And may we be willing to share not only our gifts, but also our words of encouragement, our words about the story of Jesus, and of course, what he has done for us. In his name we pray. Amen.